This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Razazi welcoming you to the series Walking with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Or upon the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not just about the seerah, it's the seerah and beyond. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we are with episode number 12. Episode number 12 from the series Walking Upon the Footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad, or Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yesterday we talked about the persecution, the torture that was happening to the Sahaba. We talked about like Yasir, his mom, his wife and his son Ammar, Sumayya, the very first martyr, woman martyr. We talked about how Quraysh reacted to the or counter-attacked against the, you know, as Islam was spreading, so they had to, you know, react because they saw that their trade, their business was being in danger. So they started, you know, emotionally abusing Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba. Then they moved from, you know, doubting him and spreading rumors and calling him names and emotional abuse to physical abuse and physical torture. Not only to the Prophet Muhammad but also to the Sahaba. Some of the Sahabas that were being tortured. We talked about Al-Khabbab ibn al-Arath and Bilal radiallahu anhuma wa ardahuma, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas with his mother. That story when his mother, you know, she said that she was not going to eat until her son was to denounce Islam. And she starved herself for 3 days, and then when her son told her if she was to have 100 souls dying one after another, he would not leave Islam. We talked about Zubayr bin Awam was 16 years old. Zubayr bin Awam, 16 years old, and also he was being tortured until he got sick. Radiallahu anhu arda. He got sick. There was a sickness in his chest, marad, يعني that, you know, from his chest, because of the intensity of the beating and the torture that they were going through. So this Islam, as I said, Islam did not come easy to us. Islam came with a lot of sacrifice. It came with lots of hardship. But there were some breakthroughs here and there. One of the great news was Hamza radiallahu anhu arda. Hamza, he's the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you have Al-Abbas. Al-Abbas was not with the Prophet, not against him, you know, initially. He was not following the Prophet, nor against him either. Hamza would embrace Islam. Abu Lahab was against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam totally. And then you have Abu Talib. Abu Talib, he was supporting Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, but but he did not embrace Islam. He did support Prophet Muhammad physically and financially, you're not supporting him, but unfortunately he did not embrace Islam. Hamza, he was a hunter, right? He's a hunter. He's a very strong man. So he came to know that Abu al-Hakam, you know, another name for Abu Jahl, he was cursing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hamza, he went to Abu Jahl. You know, his name is Abu al-Hakam, but they nicked him Abu Jahl because Prophet Muhammad gave him that name, Abu Jahl. He's the ignorant, the father of the ignorance. It's not like Abu Jahil, Abu Jahl. Yani Jahl, the Jahl, he you know, encompassed all the Jahl. You know, all the ignorance, you know, was in him. Right? So Abu Jahl was actually, his name is Abu al-Hakam, but the Prophet Muhammad nicknamed him Abu Jahl. So he went and he says, do you curse my nephew, you know, Atusubu Muhammad, you know, my nephew Muhammad, do you curse him? Do you, you know, and I am following his religion. And he slapped him. He hit him in his face until he started bleeding. He was not following his religion, you know, at the time. He was not a Muslim. But he just, because I'm his uncle, right? So, أخذت الحمية, the, you know, he wanted to defend his nephew. So he went to Abu Jahl and he says, are you cursing my nephew and I'm following his path? You know, and he slapped him. He says, if you're a man, slap me back, right? If you're a man, give it back to me. And of course, this is Hamza. Hamza, as I said, is a hunter. He used to hunt lions. Hamza is the lion hunter. It's not like a deer hunter. Or, no, he's a lion hunter. They could not, of course, you know, mess around with Hamza, radiallahu anhu arda. And then when he came back, he said, you know, Islam waqa'a fi qalbihi. He felt something towards Islam. And he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he embraced Islam. He declared his shahada. Another man who also embraced Islam. You know, I said there was some, despite, you know, amidst all these torture and all, amidst all these hardships that the Sahaba, that the Prophet were going through, there were a few little, you know, lights here and there. One of them is Hamza radiallahu anhu warda. The second would be Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu arda. Umar was a tall guy, you know. Umar was very tall and strong as well, but of course not as strong as Hamza, but Umar was known to be very, very strong and tall. Umar radiallahu anhu, just so you know, my brothers, it's been narrated that when Umar would ride a horse, his feet would touch the ground. That's how tall he was. Remember, you know, imagine like a high horse, like a horse is not something, you know, high. The horse is pretty, you know, it's pretty something big, something, you know, tall. And then Hamza would ride his horse. So if you were to ride a horse, your feet will be somewhere in the, by the belly of the horse. Hamza, his feet, when he would drag them, they would touch, you know, the ground. Just like he's riding a motorcycle. You know, just like riding a motorcycle, but he was riding a horse. Radiallahu anhu arda. That's how tall he was. And so Hamza, he was so harsh and very tough. He used to have a maid, a female maid, a servant, who was a Muslim. And he used to torture her so much. He used to torture her so much, and he would stop. And he told her that, I've only stopped because I got tired. I've only stopped because I got tired. So he would rest, and then he'd go back. And then he would again keep on torturing her. So he goes one day by the Kaaba. He goes by the Kaaba and then he sees Prophet Muhammad at night praying. And what was Prophet Muhammad reciting? He was reciting the Quran. He was reciting Surah Al-Haqqah. Surah Al-Haqqah. So Umar ibn Khattab, he used to drink alcohol. He used to drink, the Sahaba, they used to drink, they were drinkers, you know. And Umar ibn Khattab used to be a heavy drinker. So he got drunk one night. And after he got drunk, he went to the Kaaba. And then he saw Prophet Muhammad praying at night. And Prophet Muhammad was, Prophet Muhammad was reciting the Quran. And then he kept on listening. Umar kept on listening. And then he says, he must be a poet. This man must be a poet. And then Prophet Muhammad recited the, you know, as he was reciting Al-Quran in Surah Al-Haqqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. As if, subhanallah, Allah replied to his thinking. Allah replied to the thinking of Umar. Umar says, he must be a poet. And right away, as Prophet Muhammad was reciting, he came across the ayah that says, this is not the word of a poet. This is not the word of a poet. Then he said, in his mind, he says, he must be kahin, he must be soothsayer. He must be a soothsayer. And then Prophet Muhammad recited in Surah Al-Haqqa. Prophet Muhammad was not hearing Umar ibn Khattab. He kept on praying and reciting Surah Al-Haqqa. So when Umar ibn Khattab said, if he's not a poet, then he must be kahin, he must be soothsayer. You know, like a black magician guy. So then Prophet Muhammad recited, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ قَلِيلًا مَّا تَذَكَّرُونَ وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ. And it is not the word of a soothsayer. So Umar ibn Khattab is his thinking, you know, and Allah Azza wa Jal is, you know, in the Quran, the revelations, as Prophet Muhammad was reciting, you know, answering the thinking of Umar. And then Umar says, well, if he's not a poet, he is not a soothsayer, what is he? What is this? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of Salat al-Haqqa. تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is the revelation of رب العالمين, the world, the Lord of the world, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu wa radah, he said, وَقَرَ الْإِسْلَامُ فِي قَلْبِ. He says, I started feeling something towards Islam. He was thinking, he must be a poet. Right away, as the Prophet was reciting the Quran, he answered, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ مَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. It is not the word of a شاعر, of a poet. Then he must be a soothsayer. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ قَلِيلًا مَّا تَذَكَّرُونَ. And it is not the word of a soothsayer. Then he says, then what is he? And Allah Azza wa Jalla says at the end, تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is revelation, تَنْزِيل, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he started feeling something towards Islam. But he still hated Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Why? Because Prophet Muhammad and Islam, you know, when Islam was revealed and Prophet Muhammad was giving the da'wah and conveying the message, a lot of people from Quraysh, either fathers or sons, embraced Islam. So Islam, you know, separated between a father and a son, between a father and a mother, between a husband and a wife, between a mother and her son. So Umar ibn Khattab was so angry. He got so angry. This message, this Islam, this message of Muhammad alayhi salam, you know, is separating between us, the Arabs. We were a family, and came this religion that started, you know, segregating us and splitting us apart. So he got so angry. So he says, I'm gonna go to this man and kill him. Khalas, I'm gonna kill him. They will kill me, I don't care. They will kill me, I don't care. But I'm gonna go and kill him. Are you there, brothers and sisters? Are you there? Are you guys listening? Because I'm gonna tell you, Umar ibn Khattab, you know, one ayah he heard that changed his life. One ayah he heard from one surah that changed his life. Morkani, Zaklah Khair, he's still there. And Nim Yusuf and Shazia, they're there. Okay, and Nawal. All right, mashallah. So you guys are paying attention. Yeah, give me that ear right here. Give me the ear. MashaAllah. So he got so angry. I'm going to go and kill Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. As he goes, he passed by a Sahabi who did not declare his Islam, right? By a Sahabi who did not, you know, reveal his the fact that he was a Muslim. Ya Umar, where are you going? Umar, where are you going? I'm going to kill this man who split us apart. This man who segregated us. This man who, you know, who split a father from his son and a mother from her son. I'm going to go and kill him. So that man was smart. He says, well, before you go, why don't you go and clean up your home? Go and clean up your house. What do you mean my house? Your sister. She followed the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My sister, yeah, your sister Fatima. She followed the religion of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he got so angry. He was very angry. So he went to his sister's home. He went to his sister's home. And from outside, he heard, you know, that his sister and her husband was, you know, reciting the Quran. There was a man, a Sahabi, by the name of Al-Khabbab, Al-Khabbab that we talked about. The Khabbab who underwent, you know, that torture. He was teaching them the Quran. He was teaching them the Quran. MashaAllah, I've got people from Malaysia, and people from Ireland, and people from the UK, and people from Canada, people from the US. All of them are there. Jazakumullah khair for tuning in. So enjoy, inshaAllah ta'ala. So he knocked so hard on the door, you know, at the door, and then they knew it was Umar, and they got so scared. Al-Khabbab, he went into hiding. Al-Khabbab went into hiding. Umar kept, you know, knocking at the door. Al-Khabbab went hiding, and then Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd is Fatima's husband, is, Umar's sister's husband. His name is Sa'id ibn Zayd. So he came, opened the door. Umar pushed him. Where is that? What's that you're reciting? No, I'm not giving it to you. And then he punched him, and came his wife. Came the wife to try to protect her husband. You know, came the wife. You know, don't touch my husband. Don't touch my hubby. Don't touch my hubby. You know, don't touch. And then he slapped her in her face so much so that blood started dripping. And then Umar ibn Khattab felt a little bit, you know, he felt sorry. He felt, you know, bad. Just give me that which you're reading. She says, I will not give it to you. You are a mushrik. You're najas. You're najas. You're not clean. You're not pure. You're najas. You cannot touch this sahifa, this scroll that the Quran is written on. I cannot give it to you. You're mushrik. You're najas. You know, you are not pure. He says, I promise I will not harm it. He took it and he read. What did he read? طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى. That's all he heard. That's all he read. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. We have not revealed this Quran upon you, O Muhammad, to cause you harm, to cause you hardship. لتشقى. إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. It is only a تذكرة. It is only a reminder to those whom they fear. They feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have some consciousness. إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى تَنْزِيلًا مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ الْعُلَى. تنزيل. It is a revelation from whom? From the one who created the heavens and earth. Who is this one? الرحمن. الرحمن على العرش استوى. الرحمن. Who is ascended on his throne. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab got shaken. Not shaken when he heard these ayat. Changed his heart. Changed his heart. He came down and he says, I want to go and see Muhammad. I want to go and see Muhammad. Did you want to embrace Islam? Yes, I want to embrace Islam. I want to go and see Muhammad. Al-Khabbab radiallahu anhu Allah, who was hiding, as soon as he heard that Umar want to, you know, go and embrace Islam, he came out from his hiding. He says, I'll take you to him. I'll take you to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab went to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he knocked at the door, Hamza was there. And Hamza knows Umar. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, let me kill him with his own sword. Not my sword. Look, let me kill him with his own sword. Because they thought that Umar came to harm Prophet Muhammad. Hamza, remember, Hamza is the lion hunter. You know, he's a strong, you know, fighter. He says that Umar, لَمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ kill him with his own sword. He says, no, leave him apart. Come on, Umar. And then Prophet Muhammad took Umar from his, you know, like, you know, he held him from his clothes, from here, like his clothes here. And then he shook him. Umar, isn't it time for you, Umar? Isn't it time for you, Umar? He shook him about. Isn't it time for you, Umar? Aren't you going to embrace Islam, or do you want some punishment from Allah to befall on you, Umar? Umar went down on his knees. Yes, Umar is strong. Yes, Hamza is strong. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had the strength of 10 men, alayhi salatu wasallam. In some ayat, in some narrations, they said that Rasulullah had the strength of 100 men. But all 40 men. There were different narrations, but Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, he shook Umar radiallahu anhu wa ardah. Brothers and sisters, just so you know, in Jannah insha'Allah ta'ala, you will have the strength, the brothers, they will have the strength of 100 men. Allahu Akbar. 100 men in eating, drinking, and intimacy. What? Yeah, Jannah man, like Superman, Jannah man. Aywa na'am. The man in Jannah, insha'Allah ta'ala, they will have the strength of 100 men. Ya salam. The sisters, you don't have to worry. This is all for you. This is all for you. If your husband in Jannah has that strength of 100 men, he will take care of you. So you cannot say, oh my, he has the strength of 100 men. How about me? This is not about a fight. You and your husband fighting, you're 100 men. I'm 100 women. Yeah, most likely if you're 100 women, you will beat 100 men. But this is not about fight. In Jannah, your husband is strong. He has that strength of 100 men. Hey, we want him to carry you, he will carry you. Want me to throw you, he will throw you. Want me to, you know, do push-ups with you, he will do push-ups with you. Whatever, he's got that strength. Yeah, he's got that strength, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. So Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he had the strength of 10 men. Alayhi salatu wasalam, alone. So he shook up Umar. And then Umar radiallahu anhu arda, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka ya Muhammad al-Rasulullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. My brothers and sisters, only few words he heard from the Quran, only few ayat he heard from the Quran changed his life. Some of us hear the Quran every day. It's the same Quran. Quran has not changed. The Quran that Umar read and heard is the same Quran that we're listening to and reading today. It is the same Quran. But what has changed? The people have changed. People have changed. Quran hasn't changed. It is the same Quran. Umar heard that Quran and shook him and changed him. We hear the Quran and we read the Quran and we listen to the Quran. A lot of us haven't changed. So the problem, is it with the Quran? La, astaghfirullah, ma'adallah, hasha lillah. The problem, it is not from the Quran. The problem is our hearts. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to say, by Allah, if our hearts would become pure, we would never feel stuffed. We will never feel tired from listening to the Quran. Allahu Akbar. Really? Yes. He says, if our hearts were pure, we will never feel tired from listening to the Quran. Now some people sometimes, you know, they listen a little bit to the Quran and they say, khalas, it's enough. Turn it off. Change it. Put something else. In Ramadan, in Taraweeh, no, it's too much listen to the Quran, too much. Why don't you shorten the surahs? Why don't you shorten the ayat? Why don't you shorten this? Why don't you shorten the raka'at? It's too much. too much listen to the Quran. Too much listen. When the Imam sometimes prays, you know, with a long surah, it's too much, ya Habibi. We're busy. We're busy with life. Busy with life. Few ayat, he heard them, change his life. Radiallahu anhu ardah. Then he told Prophet Muhammad right away. Right away. Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah. Alasna ala al-haq. Aren't we upon the truth? Upon the haq? The Prophet said yes. Then. Alaysu ala al-batil. Aren't they upon batil? Upon falsehood? Yes. Ya Rasulullah. Why should we hide our faith? This is why he was called Umar al-Faruq. Al-Faruq. He says, aren't we upon the truth? Yes, we are. Aren't they upon falsehood? Yes, they are. Then why are we keeping our faith, you know, secret? Why? Where we should go out there and declare our faith and declare Islam. And the Prophet says, and you, Umar, you are Umar al-Faruq, who distinguish between falsehood and al-haq. Al-haq. Upon, you know, the truth. And they went out there. Umar was leading them, and Hamza was leading them, you know, and they were going out there. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, la ilaha illallah. Safain, there were two rows, you know, one by Umar, led by Umar, and the other by Hamza radiallahu anhu wa ardah, together going out there. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. When Umar embraced Islam, that was the turning point. That was the turning point. Alas, no more of hiding our faith, no more of keeping it secret. This is the time to go out there and say it out loud. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Umar ibn Khattab, he goes to Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, he knocked at his door. Abu Jahl. Ya hala, yes, Umar, Umar, assalamu alaikum, Umar, come, ya Umar, hala bik. Abu Jahl, ya Abu al-Hakam, you used to, you know, call him Abu al-Hakam, do you know the news? No, what happened? Ya Abu al-Hakam, I embraced Islam. I embraced Islam. Ata'raf ya Abu al-Hakam? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He goes to Abu Sufyan. He knocks at his door. Abu Sufyan, Umar, ahlab Umar. Come on, Umar. Hello, sama Umar. Come, Umar. Ya Abu Sufyan, don't you know the news? What news? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. They lock the door, slam the door on his face. And then he goes, who is the man who does not keep secrets in Mecca? Is there a man who does not keep secret? Any secret in Mecca? They said, yes, there is a man. His name is Jamil ibn al-Mu'ammar. Jamil ibn al-Mu'ammar, he does not keep secrets. So he goes to him. He knocks at his door. Jamil. Yeah. Jamil, I have a secret. You have a secret? Yes, I have a secret. What's your secret? Let me tell you. Don't tell nobody, okay, Jamil? Yes, no, I won't tell nobody. He says, I've become a Muslim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Before he finished it, the guy who says, I keep secrets, he went out there and says, oh people, Saba'a Umar. Umar has changed his religion. Umar has went astray. Umar has gone astray. Oh people, Umar has... Umar, that will take him so long to go out there and start telling people, I'm a Muslim. The news of the time, the paper of the time, the news of the time, the social media of the time, the Facebook of the time, the Instagram of the time, the YouTube of the time, the internet of the time was Jamil ibn Mu'ammar. Jamil Mu'ammar, Umar goes to him. Do you know the news? What's the news? Don't tell nobody. No, I keep secrets. I've become a Muslim. Right away, Jamil, he goes around. Umar has become a Muslim. Says, he saved me time. He saved me time for me to go out there one by one and to tell them. He told this guy, and the guy, he went out there, you know, divulging the secrets. There's no more secrets. Umar has become a Muslim. So they came to Umar at the Kaaba, all by himself, although strong and powerful he was, You're right. They grabbed Umar and they started beating him up, and he was beating them up as well. You know, one punch here and one punch there and one punch here and one punch there. You know, he's guarding whatever he can. Hook, you know, hook, you know, elbow, 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 hook, elbow, elbow, uppercut, 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 right, whatever. You know, just punching here and there, punches, punches here from here. But Umar got tired. He's by himself and he was surrounded by so many, punching back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then when Umar got so tired, he picked one of the elite of Quraysh out there. He put him on the ground. He put his hand on his eyes. If you guys touch me one more time, I'm going to pull out his eyes. That's Umar. If you guys don't stay away back, I'm going to pull out his eyes. I'm going to pull out his eyes. Wait. As soon as he stopped, right? Khalas, they stopped, and then he moved, and then he started beating him up, and then he, hey, all right, I'm gonna pull out his eyes. And the guy was screaming, leave him alone, leave him alone, leave him alone. So they spread out, dispersed, and let Umar go. Umar got so tired. He was so tired. He went home dead tired, but he was happy. He was very happy. He went home and then he told his family, I won't talk to no one. Khalas, I will not talk to one. I'm a Muslim. La ilaha illallah. I will not talk to no one unless you people embrace Islam. He's not going to force them. I will not talk to no one unless you people embrace Islam. He did not know they were already Muslims. Abdullah, his son, was already a Muslim. Abdullah ibn Umar, his son, was already a Muslim. They all kept quiet. And then Abdullah says, oh, dad, we were scared of you. We are all Muslims. And Umar was happy. He was happy. You were a Muslim. You didn't even tell me. I could have gone astray. I could have gone to hell. You know, but he was happy that all his family were a Muslim. Allahumma lakrah. So what happened next? Did the torture stop? Did the persecution stop? What would the Prophet do? What happened to this hijrah, to this migration to Al-Habasha? Why Al-Habasha? What surah would be revealed before the Sahaba traveled to Habasha? Before traveling to Habasha, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would establish the very first Islamic institute. Yes, the Prophet will establish an Islamic institution, a school, a madrasa. A madrasa, yes, the very first madrasa in history. Really, yes, the very first Islamic madrasa in the face of history. The Prophet will establish that where? Where it still exists, although it's not a madrasa anymore. But it still exists in Mecca. Who was living there? Whose madrasa was it? What did the Sahaba learn from there? What kind of preparation did they have to go through to prepare them for the hijrah, for the migration? And why migration? What surah would be revealed when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send the Sahaba to Al-Habasha, and then they would meet with the leader of the Habasha, with the ruler of Abyssinia. The ruler of Abyssinia was Christian, a devout Christian. Who will come to speak to him first? Who will be the spokesman? And why the spokesman will choose from all the Quran one very specific chapter? Why didn't he say, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. Why he did not recite that? What he didn't recite? تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبَّ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبَ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. Why didn't he recite that surah? It's all from the Quran. We will teach you how to give da'wah in less than 5 minutes. How to give da'wah in less than 5 minutes. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will talk about all that tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. What are the surahs that will be revealed? What will happen to the Sahaba, you know, after the Islam of Hamza and Umar? What will happen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What is this first madrasa that was established, and what would the Sahaba learn from that madrasa? Insha'Allah ta'ala, we'll be talking about all that bi-idhnillah tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers and sisters, for joining. Brothers from Instagram and Facebook right there, Hafez and Nadia Nadim, and those brothers and sisters from Instagram, Yashmin and Mu'nisa and Nawal and Karima and all these brothers, and Sayyidin, Twahman, Muhsin Al-Baz, Muhsin Al-Baz, Asad Jamal, you know, Natural Beauty Secrets, and Yasmin and Shazia, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you. Thank you, Indonesia. Bayzuriaziz. Wow, so hard to pronounce. Thank you. Thank you, all those of you out there. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Same time, same place, 5:30 again, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Wazakum Allah khair. حياك الله. Thank you, mashallah. Nasima, Zak Allah khair. And Nimka Yusuf, thank you all. See you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you, Latifa. Olayde, Ajimo Khan, Ojmoto Khan. Ah, no. Zakum Allah khair. We'll see you, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.